Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Cap real quickly, we've been talking about that God wants us whole and healthy. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verse 23 said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you or separate you completely or wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God wants us whole, spirit, soul, and body. So that we're made up of three parts. We are a three-part being. We won't have time to jump into that. You can always go back and download some of our stuff. It's free. We have to be intentional about dealing with our souls and our bodies. Romans talks about that, and renewing our minds is what we've been talking about. Actually changing the way that we think. And I want to talk specifically about changing the way we think in terms of fear and anxiety tonight. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what's the good and pleasing and perfect will of God." Fear and anxiety is a problem because it drains us of strength. We need strength to face life, to deal with everything that we deal with, and fear actually drains us of strength. Anxiety drains us of strength. Have you ever been through a time where you were just really worried about something and maybe there was finally a resolve, and after you worried for two or three days or 2 or 3 weeks, did you ever stop and go, "That was refreshing. Let's do that again." No, there's nothing refreshing about it. And what you find is you may be doing great, then you get something and all of a sudden you're dealing with fear, and it'll just suck the strength straight out of you. Here's an interesting passage in the Bible. When the nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan, Moses had died, Joshua was leading them across the Jordan, and the first city they were going after was Jericho. And so Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. You can better bet he vetted those spies before he sent them in, because 40 years before, he'd been with a group of 12 spies who messed everything up. So he probably sent in two guys he knew would bring back the right thing. And they ran across a lady named Rahab, who was a prostitute. You know, I love the fact that the Bible doesn't soft pedal anything. It's like she was a prostitute and just went right there. So, but here's the interesting thing. She was a prostitute with a big heart for God. Oh, don't look so religious. Here's her story. She went they figured out that there were spies in Jericho. She hid the spies. And then she went up and talked to them. And I want you to listen to what she said. "Now, before they lay down, she," that's Rahab, "came up to them on the roof." That's where she's hiding them. "She said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Now we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings, the Amorites, who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath.'" You know, for a prostitute, she has some pretty good doctrine. Your God's big. Your God can do some amazing stuff. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jericho was a strong-walled city. Archaeologists tell us it was a two-tiered wall. They had an outer wall, inner wall. And they said that the inner wall, both of them were thick, but the inner wall was as tall as between a 4- and 5-story building. Now, in ancient time, it's huge. That's taller than this. That's a tall wall. So it was supposed to be just, you couldn't attack it. You couldn't get through it. God could get through it. But here she was behind that wall, but she looked at these guys and said, we felt we're faint-hearted. They heard what God had done. They became faint-hearted. That means to dissolve, to melt away, to become weak. The hearts melted. Now, we're not talking about physical hearts. We're talking about their heart on the inside. Their heart melted. They had no more courage. Courage means the power to deal with and face danger, pain, uncomfortable situations. The power to nerve oneself to act. He said, our hearts melted. And it's like water. It's interesting that courage is likened to something solid, and fear is likened to something that dissolves. It's water. You can't stand on it. Now, the term heart melted, as I was thinking about that, I remember a story, and if you've been here a while, you've heard most of my stories. I could number them and save some time, but I won't, because they're always new people. But you've heard me tell the story of when I was used to run track when I was a kid. I used to run junior Olympic track. I went to a track meet. It was a regional track meet in Raleigh, North Carolina. They had the 11 and 12 boys races, and I won the 100, the long jump, the 200, and the 400 relay. It was a good day. If I'd have known that it was the highlight of my entire athletic career, it probably wouldn't have, it'd have been depressing. But I was running against 11 and 12-year-old boys. I was 12. When I came to the state track meet, state junior Olympic track meet for North Carolina, I will not forget this day as long as I live. I trotted down to the track. I was feeling pretty cocky because I had just whooped up on some boys. So I'm now ready to win the state. And I went to a man holding a clipboard. I said, sir, where's the 11 to 12 boys 100-yard dash? And he said, we don't have boys 11 and 12 100-yard dash. He said, we have boys 12 and 13 100-yard dash. Now, you're thinking that's not a problem. But if you're 12 years old, sometimes there's a big difference between a 12-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy. And when I looked down the track to where all these 13-year-old boys were, they were these hairy individuals. And this term, your heart melted, my heart melted. Because I went down there, and we lined up. We put our legs up, and I'm telling you, hairiest legs I've ever seen, all up and down. I had two hairs I was proud of on one ankle. Their voices had all changed. They're like, good luck, good luck, good luck. I'm like, good luck. Now, here's the deal. You say, Alan, would you have beat them if you had run your best time? No. They were stronger and faster than I was. But here's where you could tell that my heart melted. I ran my worst competitive time of that whole season. That was fear. And the fear caused my heart to melt. And it just drained the strength right out of me. How many know there's a difference between when you're confident and strong and facing something and when fear has gripped you and anxiety has gripped you? Because it will pull your strength straight out. And it that's what it did to me. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. And worst time, horrible time. But I was beaten before I ever started. And so we want to begin to take out fear and anxiety and to overcome fear and anxiety. We're dealing right now with generations of people who talk a lot about fear and anxiety and talk a lot about it like it's their destiny to be plagued by fear and anxiety for the rest of the anxiety disorders. And I'm not taking anything away from you. What I am sharing tonight is there is another way, and you don't have to take fear and anxiety as your destiny for life. That you can overcome it. You can come past it. I don't care if you're having panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I don't care if you've lived with it for years. The one who lives in you is greater than the fear and anxiety that's coming against you. And you can come out of this. But here's some things we're going to have to do. We're also going to have to change the way we think. Because we can't keep thinking fear thoughts and believe I'm going to be free from fear. Joy was one time. She was just going, I don't have a spirit of fear. I don't have a spirit of fear. And the Lord just impressed her. She didn't hear a voice. She said, then stop saying that in fear. And she was so afraid. That's not like a rabbit's foot that you use to ward off fear. It's something we have to change the way we think. So I'm going to give you a passage tonight that the passage in itself, one of them is the most looked up passage, most looked up Bible verse for the past few years. It's the number one Bible verse that people look up online. But what happens is we've looked at it as individual, and I think there's a package here, and I want you to see this strategy. So it's in Philippians 4 chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord's at hand. Now here's the most looked up verse in America, actually the world. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, that's moral excellence. And if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think intensely on these things. So here's, now, a lot of times what we've done over the years, I've taken verse 6, right out, just taking verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Okay, so here's how we're going to deal with anxiety. We're going to pray. We're going to give that to the Lord. We're going to ask for His help. You say, Alan, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we've skipped a couple of steps. If we want to start working our way out of anxiety and overcoming it, then we got to go to the first verse, which is rejoice in the Lord always. Say, Alan, I thought you were going to talk about how to deal with fear. I need you to stay with me because that's exactly what I'm talking about. Rejoice in the Lord always is part of that passage. It's part of how we get past the fear. It's part of how we walk in the peace of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice is a choice. It's a verb. It's an action word. It means to express gladness. Now here's the deal. We must separate rejoicing from our feelings. We're so accustomed, guys, to doing things by feelings. We talk about it all the time. Well, how do you feel about that? I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it? I feel pretty good. It looks good. Let's go. Are we going tonight? It's Wednesday night. I don't know. What do you feel? No, I feel okay. Let's go. I don't feel like going tonight. I love it when people come to me and go, you know, I really didn't want to come tonight. But I'm glad I did. Yeah, so are we. But here's the thing. Rejoicing is actually a choice of saying, I'm going to express gladness. You say, Alan, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a rejoicer. Here's something that I want you to listen to. This will really help you. You need to identify as someone who rejoices. Identity is a stronger foundation for action. Let me give you an example of that. I don't do any counseling here. This is an example. Someone who wants to quit smoking cigarettes. Well, you can have a goal that says, here's my goal to quit smoking cigarettes. That's my goal. So I'm going to go after that. That's good. That's a good goal. But boy, you got to use a lot of willpower. And then, or you could add to it. You could add a process to it. Maybe you could have an app that reminds you not to smoke. Or you can deal with something that's going to help you. Remember, don't smoke cigarettes. Or maybe it shocks you every time. I don't know. They don't have those. Or they still have patches. Okay, maybe it's a patch. If it helps you, that's great. Here's something even stronger. I'm not a smoker. An identity that says I'm not a smoker. So someone offers you a cigarette and you go, I'm trying to quit. That's different from I'm not a smoker. That's an identity. Challenge, you make that up? No, it's actually in the book called Atomic Habits. It's one of the best-selling books talking about how you break habits. Now, this is a secular book that talks about how you get out of some things. And I'm thinking, wow, if we can get out of smoking cigarettes by identifying with being a non-smoker, then we can use that on the positive end and begin to identify with being someone who rejoices in the Lord. I'm a rejoicer. So instead of going, well, I'm just not very expressive, or I'm not this or I'm not that. How about this? I worship God. I rejoice in the Lord. Y'all, are you listening to me? See, that's a little bit different than, okay, I'm going to rejoice today. I'm going to rejoice today. I am a rejoicer. I identify with being someone who rejoices in the Lord. Let's back that up a little bit. Instead of saying that we're dealing so much with anxiety, I'm anxious, I'm fearful, I'm anxious, how about saying, I am a strong, courageous person. I identify with being strong and courageous. I'm not afraid. I'm not discouraged because the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Amen. That's a verse. That's, you say, well, that applies to Joshua. Yeah, but that applies to us. It's Joshua 1:9. But it also, you could take that and make that apply to you. So instead of identifying with being anxious, instead of identifying with being depressed, instead of identifying, why don't we start identifying with what the Bible says we are in Christ? And then we can begin to go, no, I'm a strong and courageous person. So when fear begins to come, you begin to resist it by going, no, that's not me. I may have that feeling, but that's not me. I identify with being strong and courageous. Is that making sense? We're talking about an identity as a motivator. You could use it for drinking. No, I'm just not a drinker. I used to drink. Don't drink anymore. I stopped. Joy and I stopped before we went to Bible school. We thought, no, it's probably a good thing to stop before we go to Bible school. And so we just never picked it up again. If someone offers me a drink, I'll say, no, no, thanks. I'm just not a drinker. And you say, well, you know, how do you do it? I don't know. It's worked for me for about 45 years, so it's okay. It's all right. But that's just who I am. Listen, by talking about who we are in Christ, we're developing strength. By talking about the past and what we have been or where we are now, we're not moving forward. We want to start moving forward. So let's talk about who we are in Christ and what we're becoming, not what we were in the past. Let me give you another example. When I married Joy, I had just come away from college. My college at the time, the girls outnumbered the guys almost 2-1. That was good for me. Now, I need you to work with me. Use your imagination. This is Alan 45 years ago. He says, what are you looking at me like? How could that be good for you? Because I was younger. But when I married Joy, one of the things that I always identified with was, I'm loyal. Yes, sir. Even when I was sinning like crazy, I was still, if I was dating you, I was loyal to you. Yes, and so if I needed to break up with you before I would connect with anybody else, we'd just break up. But I wouldn't cheat. I'd just break up. 2-1, guys, you could do that. But when I married Joy, what I didn't talk about was all my college romances and exploits and old relationships. Because I'm now married to her, and we're moving forward. We're building a relationship. That's not going to build strength in the relationship for me to talk about my past. True? I mean, I dated a girl one time that was in love with Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers and Bruce Springsteen. I saw, Kenny Rogers and Bruce Springsteen. That never made me feel secure in the relationship. I am not Kenny Rogers. I am not Bruce Springsteen. And I never will be. But she kept mentioning that. That didn't help. So when I married Joy, Joy had an inherent distrust of men. She'd seen it throughout her whole family's life. You didn't trust men. And so to build trust, I didn't talk about my past. I didn't talk about what I had done in the past. That's in the past. I'm talking about I'm loyal to you. I love you. We're moving forward. By the same token, You don't want to keep talking about your past and your failures and where you are now. I just feel so weak. You know, I never have done well. I have never have been able to get past this. That's not helping you move forward. To move forward, you need to start talking about who you are in Christ, what Jesus has done for you. And because you're a new creation, I'm moving forward. I'm a rejoicer. I'm a courageous person. I'm a worshiper. I love God. Are you hearing me? So when you identify there, then it becomes easier to begin to resist the things, and you begin to recognize the things that come your way. That's not of God. I recognize that now. When Paul wrote the church and said, rejoice always, do you realize what a weapon that is? It's hard to be in fear and rejoice at the same time. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're expressing, God, you have been good to me. You're establishing your mind on Him as opposed to the things that are making you afraid. It said in Psalms 1, He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. When you're rejoicing, you're not magnifying the problem. You're magnifying the God who's bigger than the problem. This is why I'm saying that when Paul wrote to the church, he's telling them how to get out of anxiety. He starts with rejoice. You start rejoicing, and then you begin to identify, I am a rejoicer. Chew on that for a bit, because you're going to love the next one. If we're going to get out of anxiety and move past it, here's a God-inspired plan. You ready for part two? Be good to the people around you. You're like, Alan, you tricked me. You said tonight that we were going to talk about getting out of fear and anxiety. And now you're talking about being good to people. Listen, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord's at hand. That word gentleness means our response toward others. A better word for that is graciousness and consideration. Let me just give you a definition of graciousness. Acknowledges opponents' efforts and remains humble. In other words, even when you're in competition, someone's done a good job, you acknowledge that, but you still stay humble. Making people feel comfortable and valued. How about this one? Responding to rudeness or a mistake with patience, not anger. That's gracious. Personally, I need some more graciousness in my driving. Because when people get in my lane, which is the left lane, and then they slow down so that the people in the right lanes are now passing. Graciousness is not the first thing that comes to my mind. It's anger, and I talk to them. I share with them. The help that they need. Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Because I don't know how someone that dumb can be driving a car. That is not gracious. But here's the thing. We're rejoicing. It says being gracious to all people because here's the deal. And by the way, it's the opposite of harsh. Gracious. Let your graciousness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Opposite of harsh. The Lord is near. And we're accountable to Him. You know, He's not just Lord of Sundays and Wednesdays. He's Lord all week long. And then we represent Him. I was recently in the hospital visiting a staff member. And I don't know what it is about walking into a hospital. When I walk into a hospital, I'm very conscious of being the pastor of this church. Maybe it's because I'm just surrounded by people who are hurting and people who need help. When I walk through the halls, I'm very conscious. And I was actually in a hospital recently. And I'm just conscious because I know I'm representing this church even more. I'm representing the Lord. But I remember talking to someone, and I said, hey, how do I get out of here? And they told me, and I walked away, and I heard a guy go, that's the pastor of the ark. So a lot of times people know me more than I know them. But I become conscious of the fact that I'm the pastor of this church and I need to act a certain way. I certainly need to be kind. But guys, the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. When the Bible says, be gracious, the Lord's at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord's at hand. It's saying how we treat other people is going to have an impact on our own soul. It will impact us. Have you ever just done something and you just snapped off at someone? Maybe, I know I have, but have you ever, I'm asking you now, have you ever snapped off at someone and then you walked away and you just felt like, oh, no, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. Listen, we don't want to do that. We want to stay in a relationship. And so we're conscious of the Lord who's not just here on Sundays and leaves you alone for the rest of the week. He's there. He's at hand. And we're representing Him. So we identify with being a gracious person. I am a gracious person. I'll allow my graciousness to be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Why is that? Because if I want this to be good, this needs to be good. For you married folks, Joy will tell you, she always loved it when I would teach and preach at Lakewood. And she said, this was especially during our early years, she said, because I know Alan will get right before he stands up and preaches and teaches. So if I'm getting ready for a message, we've been arguing. She could almost set her clock on, I would. I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, and by the way, those words saved our marriage. They could help yours. I'm sorry. I apologize. And Joy said, I always knew that you would apologize. I always knew that you would repent. You'd get right. And especially when I'm preaching. Because I can't stand up here and preach to you and be angry and upset with her. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because what happens is we lose confidence with God. The Bible said if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knows all things. If your heart's condemning you and you're like, ugh, you know God's already figured it out. He's not going, oh, really? No, He already knows. And so what happens then is if I can keep these things right, I said, I thought you're still talking about getting rid of fear. Exactly what I'm talking about, getting rid of fear. Listen, my courage is not based on my belief in myself. My courage is based on my relationship with God. That's what gives me courage to face the day, to face challenges, to face things. And then I face them even bigger than my own self. I got a God backing me up, but I have to stay in relationship with Him. My fellowship with Him has got to be good. And that means I can't be snapping off at people and cussing people out and treating people good, then praying and asking God to take fear out of my life. I've got to say, I've got to go, Lord, I'm going to do it Your way. And if I need to treat people, I'm going to treat people right. Say, well, they don't deserve. Yeah, you're right. They don't. And I did not deserve for Him to die on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. And He did. And He's my Lord. And He's the one I serve. And I identify with being an ambassador for Christ. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, no one leaving. We'll be out of here in just a moment. If you would, just give us a second. If you came this evening and you said, you know what, Alan, I don't know how much of that made sense to me, but I just know in my own heart I'm not right with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. And I need to be. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to receive Him for the very first time. Either way, we're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down to the front, but this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, I would like your prayers for me. I want to come back or I want to come to Him for the first time. I want to be sure. You slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, that's me. Yeah, got you. Got you. Thank you. Can't see all of you, but that's good. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you were hoping, I can't see if you're online. If you were hoping to lift your hand, you say, oh, I should have. I missed my chance. No, this is a heart thing. God sees hands. He sees hearts. We're going to pray this. If you're by yourself at home watching this, you can pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family here. We'll pray it out loud. Words matter. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are here, those who prayed that prayer, those who've come out of spiritual darkness into the light, those who've come back home. Father, thank you for those here who thought maybe they could never come out of anxiety and panic attacks, that it was their destiny. Lord, I thank you that it's not, and I thank you you'll continue to minister that truth. Lord, thank you that we can identify with you so much stronger than we can with our past and our failures and the junk. But we identify with you and what a difference that makes. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.